Welcome. My name is Asam Stolu. I'm a trainee editor of the UEG Journal, and you're listening to the UEG Journal podcast. Each episode will highlight one of the most relevant articles recently published in the journal, with the purpose of learning from the most recent evidence and to provide a platform for authors to discuss the most important findings of their research. So welcome back, everyone, to the UEG Journal podcast. I'm delighted to be joined by the Best Paper awardee, Dr. Wasa Frandemark, and we're going to be discussing their paper, Work Productivity and Activity Impairment in Disorders of Gut-Brain Interaction, data from the Rome Foundation Global Epidemiology Study. Welcome, Wasa.
Thank you.
Please introduce yourself and your co-authors to our audience.
Okay, so my name is Åsa Frandemark and I'm a MD PhD from Gothenburg University, and I'm a fellow in internal medicine right now, but currently I'm on maternity leave, so I'm a bit rusty when it comes to speaking about research, but hopefully this will go well. And in our study, we had 13 authors. I'm the first author, and from my center here in Sweden, we also have Hans Törnblom, Johan Palm-Reinsson, and Magnus Simmerian, who is also the last author of this study. The study was a global study, and it's based on the Rome Global Epidemiology Study where Ami Sperber and Shikant Bangdivala and Olafur Paulsson is the they are the architects behind the study, and the ones who are the driving forces behind the study, and we've used data from 8 different countries, so we also have the PIs from the contributing countries as authors, that's Viola Andersen from Germany, Mark Beninga from the Netherlands, Enrico Corazzari from Italy, Shin Fukudo from Japan, Agatha Mulak from Poland, and Javier Santos from Spain. And that's all of us.
Thank you. Thank you. As I see you worked overseas, and it's really hard to work with lots of people in a study. So congratulations for that. So I want to ask you a question about your study. How do you believe psychological factors such as anxiety and depression specifically influence work productivity in individuals with disorders of gut-brain interaction? And what implications does this have for treatment approaches?
Well, we know from other studies that anxiety and depression, of course, impacts work productivity. And that's also common in those with DGBIs. And it's hard to know if the impact anxiety and depression has on work productivity, if there's an add-on to the impact of the DGBI in itself, or if they work synergistically to make it an even more impact. But if you compare people in the general population with anxiety and depression and not a DGBI, they still have less work productivity impacts than the ones who have both DGBIs and anxiety and depression. So I think in a clinical environment, it's important to address both the gut symptoms or the DGBI symptoms, and also assess, is there a comorbidity with anxiety and depression, and can we use a treatment that targets both, or should we treat both of them separately? And depression and anxiety, of course, impacts work, for example, the cognitive function during work, and also affect absenteeism, which means that you're away from work, but it also affects presenteeism, which is your ability to work while at work due to different forms of illnesses.
So do you think treating the anxiety and depression alone will improve the factors, improve the symptoms of gut-brain disorders? So, I mean, do you think we need to treat first anxiety and depression, or we need to treat both at the same time?
I think you need to see the whole person and assess all of them. In some cases, if you think that the anxiety and depression is a bigger contributor, maybe you should start there. But normally, it's good to see the whole patient and from an individual perspective, see where should we start. And some treatments for DGBIs, for example, IBS, we use neuromodulators who has both effect on anxiety, depression, and the gut symptoms. So maybe in a patient where there's a lot of anxiety and they also have diarrhea or a lot of stomach pain, for example, maybe you should start with a neuromodulator that might affect both of them.
Yeah, all single patients has a unique clinical presentation, so it's important to evaluate each patient in their special settings. Thank
Yes.
you. So your study highlights differences in work productivity impairment across various countries, like you said, 8 whole countries. What cultural or systemic factors do you think contribute most significantly to these differences, and how can this inform future research or interventions?
Well, it's hard to know which contributes the most, but there are, of course, a lot of differences between countries, both in culture and also how the system around work is built. So depending on how the insurance around sick leave works, that affects, of course. If you have a limited amount of sick days, then you can't stay home for a long time. In Sweden, for example, you can stay home for 5 days without the doctor's note, but from day 6, you need a doctor's note. And so that could affect your ability to go to work or choose to stay home. And also, there are cultural differences. Can be a lot of stigma around the gut health and gut issues. Which means that maybe you won't be able to tell your employer about them, and you go to work even though you are in a lot of pain or have a lot of symptoms, and that can differ a lot from different cultures also.
Yeah.
But it's hard to say which contributes the most. I don't know.
How do you think this can inform future research or clinical practice?
That's a tricky question, I think. Maybe you have to adapt the studies to where the situation where you're conducting it. What
Yeah.
is the culture there? Maybe you can do qualitative studies to examine the issues in that cultural setting before making larger interventional studies, for example. Yeah,
Yeah, thank you.
that's one idea.
I thought it was interesting that your study found that people who are younger and more often female had DGBIs more frequently, which is interesting considering that they're linked with psychological disorders like anxiety and depression. Because I know in the UK, for example, men often to commit suicide a lot more than women do. I don't know if that's just because they suppress things more, whereas women tend to go see a doctor more quickly, but do you have any thoughts on that?
Yes, that could be one of the issues that we have seen over time and in multiple studies that women and younger people are more affected by DGBIs than men. We don't really know why, but there are several hypotheses. It could be hormonal, it could be differences in microbiota and a lot of different things. But also, there are more anxiety and depression among women. But I don't really know why that is.
I guess more research is needed then to answer those questions.
Yes. Yeah.
Actually, maybe it's because of the perception, because in clinical settings, some patients has no any complaint if they have lots of symptoms, but some have no symptoms and complain a lot. The perception is really important, and maybe it differs about the gender and the cultural settings. I don't know. So thank you, Wasa. As I see, your study was cross-sectional. And also, you had a great study and with a great number of participants. So, do you have any plan for longitudinal research to track change in work productivity and activity impairment over time in individuals with gut-brain access disorders?
Not currently, but we have conducted a few studies at my center where we've done interventions and we've have assessed the reproductive D impairment before and after the intervention, but we have not analyzed that yet. So that is something we can look into, but we're not planning a global a study at the moment.
Then does it mean that a new award winner paper is loading or not?
Huh. We'll see. Maybe.
Okay, so based on your findings, what specific policy changes or workplace accommodations would you recommend to better support individuals with disorders of gut-brain interactions in maintaining their work productivity?
Well, in my PhD work, I did a study about maintaining work productivity or work life in persons with IBS. And there we found a lot of things that could help maintaining work life. Flexibility was something that a lot of persons talked about, both in maybe being able to work from home when needed to, if the type of job you had allowed it, but also flexibility in hours. Maybe if you have a lot of symptoms in the morning, sometimes you can start a bit later and work a bit. Stay later in at work also. Flexibility in work tasks was also something that was prominent. For example, if you have critical tasks that takes 2 hours to do and you can't leave, maybe do them at times when you know you won't have as much symptoms and choose to do other tasks when you might be distracted by pain or have to leave for the bathroom. Also, general things like having access to toilets, for example, is important, and having colleagues and employers that understand your situation and are a help and not something that you need to hide from them is also very helpful. And also, maybe it can be important if you have these issues to think through what profession to aspire for or go for. We interviewed a bus driver and it was really hard for him when he was stuck in the bus and being in a lot in pain, for example.
Thank you. So, Wasa, the gut-brain interaction disorders are really popular in last decades, and also it's a really comprehensive disorder. So, as a young researcher, what areas of research do you believe are most critical to explore next in the context of gut-brain interaction disorders and their impact on work and daily life?
More studies are evaluating also work productivity or work impacts when they're doing interventions. And I think that is very important to look into what works for both symptoms and also the ability to work. So I would say different treatment interventions are important. But it would be interesting to see interventions that are primarily aimed for workability and not only symptoms to see what happens.
Are there any clinical interventions that you're particularly looking out for when you mention interventions?
I would like to see maybe psychological interventions. That would be very interesting to see with, for example, ACT or, yeah, different kinds of psychological interventions would be interesting to see if they can affect workability in these patients.
Thank you very much, Vasa. So, thank you for time and thank you for joining us. Also, congratulations for your paper
Thank
and
you.
your award. And we are and at last, do you want to say anything to our listeners?
Well, thank you for listening. And hopefully, we'll see my talk at the UEG Week conference in Vienna this year.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Asen and I are very delighted to have you in here. And thank you very much for this enjoyable and perfect conversation. Thank you.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed this interview. And if you haven't already, please make sure to subscribe to our podcast wherever you get your episodes from. Thank you and see you again.